Hello, and welcome to a new segment that we are calling Behind the Nightmare. This is a series that we're going to use in between episodes to kind of give you guys a glimpse of what happens behind the scenes and what goes into a production of Nightmare Scenario. Today I've got Atlas Clark and Orson Price with me.
You bumped the stand?
Yeah, you did.
I did. Today we've got Atlas Clark and Orson Price, the writers, graphic artists, and audio engineer for Nightmare Scenario. So these two have collaborated on writing stories such as Last Call and Crawler. So first I just want to ask you guys, what all went into the process with writing? How do you guys get together and come up with these ideas?
You want to head that one?
Yeah, go for it.
So basically what it is I generally, at least for me, I generally come up with a concept. Like, I don't really focus on the monster so much as a situation. I mean, you take the title Nightmare Scenario and then you just realize, like, well, what would really make the situation worse? Yeah. Whether you're stranded at sea, even, you know, just even day-to-day living, mm-hmm. like, what would make that worse? Then I just kind of figure out what type of monster, creature, whatever it is that I want to fit into that situation. And I like to take, like, old tropes of monsters and just see if I can kind of twist them and turn them on their head. So, like, if you do have a regular, let's say, vampire story, what would make that more unique compared to everything else that's out there?
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely agree with that. Normally, for me, like, the scenario part's for sure super important. But it all kind of depends on the story. Sometimes it's like a theme or something like that will actually kind of play a big part into how things get written out for me. Or what kind of story we're going for. Cause I know, like, the first one was a lot like of a slower burn. And then the second one is more of like a character study almost. Cause it's just two people sitting down talking. This next one has some religious themes to it and stuff like that. And then the latest one we're working on is a lot more fast paced, yeah. A lot more action oriented almost. So it all just kind of depends on the situation we're going for, the kind of scares we want to do or the story we want to tell, or the themes we want to go for. If we actually want to put a theme, sometimes Orson and I both agree that, you know, monster's got a monster.
Oh, so. Yeah. Sometimes you just need a nice, regular, like, Universal Monsters type feel where it's just a classic, oh, we just show up, and why, now we're just being hunted down.
Yeah, and we just mess things up.
Well, I know that your stories do kind of pull a little bit from personal experience. Can you guys kind of go into what it's like to take some of those personal experiences and transform them into narratives that really speak to an audience?
Oh, okay. Well, I definitely know for Last Call, it was more of a, like, the character itself, Liam, is kind of a based on certain experiences I've had. Nothing so extreme, obviously, but just the idea of I've maybe possibly wrong somebody. You don't know for sure. You don't know if you have an interaction with somebody and how it affects people, you know, later on down the road, because you just kind of, you meet them, you have whatever interaction with them, and then you just kind of move on. So you don't know if there's a lasting effect and if that comes back to bite you, you know.
Yeah. I would say a lot of the stories, that I have in the works and stuff like that. And then with Crawler, more aspects of things in my life that really affect me in a negative way. So it's looking at that and then seeing how that's relatable to other people. Because, you know, a lot of people deal with the same kind of issues and stuff, but not everybody wants to talk about it. That's why I kind of like horror, because you can explore those kinds of topics that people don't normally really want to talk about. And then, you know,
elaborate on it.
Yeah, and bring that out in a creative way.
Yeah, I think the thing about horror is it's very transitional, and you can make any type of horror. So you can have a horror comedy, you can even have like a romantic horror. Right? I think that's what Warm Bodies was about. It was more of a romantic horror style, but it just has a horror elements. It doesn't necessarily always have to be scary. There are some themes that have to match, you know. But other than that, like, yeah, a lot of stuff can be categorized as horror, which is what makes it fun for us, because we can just write how we feel and just are free to do that.
Okay, and I know that you two have a musical background together, and how, you know, working together, you've been able to create all the music, mostly Orson over here. I know that you do all the music for the show, and you kind of represent one of our partners, BPM Senpai. Can you tell us a little bit about your process?
The thing I like about that, as far as like making music for a podcast, or even, I guess, even if you were to do like a movie or a short film or something, is it doesn't have to have so many elements as just like, let's say, making a beat. It just has to invoke a feeling. And so when I made the music, the intro music for Nightmare Scenario, it was based off of a past experience where, you know, I had like an anxiety attack. So that intro was very much representative of like how it felt, you know, where the drum beat is like your heart, and you hear like the hi-hats moving so fast, because that's your mind's racing and you're trying to figure out what's going on, or especially if you don't know that you're having a panic attack. Like, a panic attack or an anxiety attack sometimes just feels like a heart attack. And if you don't know that, you're very convinced that that's what's happening. So the music, actually, I enjoy doing the music for this, because it's just something that is inherently easy, because once I find something to match the tone of whatever the scene I'm putting on, it just takes form, and I don't have to really like think about it as much. But yeah, BPM Senpai definitely is a project that me and a few other collaborators have been working on. They're just a group of really talented music producers and artists and stuff. So it was definitely a no brainer to bring them in and just have them work on certain things. So I do most of the music, but there are some other people that have contributed. Like Irrelevant Franco has contributed actually quite a bit to every episode. The ending theme that we're starting with now from this point on is part of his. I believe Crawler, he created the actual theme music for Crawler. And, you know, we'll have a couple more collaborators in the future, I'm sure. But for right now, like, we're just taking it episode per episode and just seeing what matches.
Now, I know that you guys have recently started doing your own Foley work for the show, starting with Last Call, and it was really impressive. Everything sounded phenomenal in that episode.
Well, thank you.
So could you guys kind of go into the process and like what gets you to find different sound effects and how you kind of create clever solutions for things and create that theater of the mind?
I don't know if I'd call it clever. It's just figuring out what sounds we want in the story and figuring out how we're going to do it. Like throwing myself on the ground to make a sound effect for somebody falling over. You know? Yeah, it's clever. It's just pain.
It's definitely, I know since we came up with the idea for Nightmare Scenario, we said original music and we said sound effects. We wanted to do all the sound effects, which is, you know, it's great in theory as far as, like, it sounds simple.
Yeah.
But then when you realize, like, how many different people are walking alone, like, how many different footsteps you have to have, it becomes, like, this ridiculous amount of work. But it is fun coming up with, like, the solutions, because it's, like, how do you come up with the sound of a certain type of monster?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, well, I we could try this. I think one of the most clever things we did was Last Call, was with the bone crunching sound. I mean, we took the old idea. I've seen people use celery stalks,
yeah,
and snap them for, like, bones breaking and stuff. So we definitely saw that, and we were like, oh, let's try that. But then we actually used that empty water bottle and started crumpling.
Oh, no way.
To on top of that. So it was like, yeah, we had the celery thing, but we actually added our own little twist to it.
That was such a painful sound, too. What did you have to do to edit that to make it sound more gnarly, I guess?
Different types of reverb. Definitely toning some stuff. And then, honestly, what makes it work really well is I definitely tried to pan it more. So you would literally hear it around you. So you have the idea of, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I know you did something similar for the sound of the crawler in the first episode.
Well, that one was just it was roaches in a box and then, like, a flesh tearing sound, and I just kind of tried to combine the two. It's definitely something that is unique. I don't think I don't actually know where I came up with that. I was actually very.
It just needs to sound gross.
Yeah. But I was actually very intimidated by the crawler because when Atlas told me, like, oh, well, this is how I want it to sound, I was like, where am I supposed to come up with that? Like, like, I don't understand. Like,
just do it. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I got to ask questions. Just do it.
So, Atlas, I know that you have been very involved with the artwork. Everything is pretty much yours. What has been your background in art? Like, how did you get started, and how did you end up creating these beautiful thumbnails?
I mean, I've always been into art since I was a kid. I mean, drawing my own, like, little superhero comics and stuff like that on lined pieces of paper. I mean, I've always just really enjoyed it, to the point where I wouldn't pay attention in school. I was more drawing instead of doing homework and stuff like that. But, and I've always had more of an attraction to, like, the deep, dark shadows and, like, more of a noir kind of look of art. And it just so happened that style just fits this project perfectly for, you know, what we're going for.
Yeah, no, definitely. When I first met Atlas, I just remember he made his own card game. Like, he used index cards, and he drew, like, it was like Yu-Gi-Oh, but, like, he drew all the all the different characters and monsters, and, like, I just remember him always drawing.
Like, I never won in that card game.
You know, you created the game, but you don't.
Yeah.
Couldn't slip in an extra rule in there to give you an advantage?
I tried, and then it would turn back on me every time I played our friend.
Oh, man, that's great.
So I guess going back to that card game, do you still have any of that artwork?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually still have all those cards.
Is that something
I would have to find them, but I know I still have them.
Is that something
I actually was doing a little comic on the same kind of index cards as well. I got like 400 pages in on that thing.
Holy smokes, 400?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been drawing for a while.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, it's something I've always known about him. It was definitely, like, the artistic as far as, like, drawing. Like he said, he drew very dark images. And I always saw potential in that, especially because, like, a lot of it, I don't know if you guys are very familiar, but, like, when Tales from the Crypt had a comic book or Outer Limits and stuff, like, that's what it reminded me of, is this really, like, dark image. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, and we've always been fans of horror.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Since growing up, so it was just it just seemed like it the pieces kind of fell into place like when we came up with the concept for this idea.
I remember lots of just getting together and buying crap tons of junk food.
Oh, man.
And then just renting scary movies to watch all night.
Yeah, no, not even any good ones sometimes. Some of them were really...
Mostly not good ones.
Yeah. There's a whole collection in my mind of just really bad ones.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's a place for that. Like, B-rated horror movies are sometimes even more enjoyable.
Oh, yeah. Especially with a group of friends and stuff. Just sitting around watching.
So,
this one is for Orson. So with the audio engineering portion, you do all of the editing for these shows. And I know personally that you've had to listen to hour-long episodes over and over again. What is that like for you? I know that the first episode, it took you,
I would say
70 hours?
I would say a good 80, probably, yeah. Probably a good 80, because it's not just even the editing portion takes a long time, but even some of the recording portions itself. So, like, it all clusters together. It's definitely something where we're exploring different techniques, different ideas on how to record multiple people or how to get the characters to definitely sound like how we wrote them. But it's a lot of work, but it is also, once you're done and you hear it once you're done and you hear it, especially like with music or even with sound effects, just that little bit, and then you get the actual like picture that you had in your head of how it would sound, it's well worth it no matter what. I believe you actually have some input on that too, the process.
Yeah.
What was it, a good 24 hours?
24 hours of
straight
monologues,
no breaks,
basically.
No water. Locked him in a room.
No
was
bathroom
like,
break,
you get this done.
So, Atlas, I know that you were one of the main directors for Crawler, and you had a lot of direction for how you wanted the narrator to sound.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of resulted in a full day of re-records.
It did. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So that's where the 24 hours comes in. 1 week I'm in there doing 12 hours worth of dialogue, and then 2 weeks later it's like, oh yeah, want you to re-say everything.
That was the real
nightmare.
Because I don't know if you guys remember, but I was sick. Like, I was deathly sick.
Oh, yeah.
Passed out in
the
chair.
I was passing out. I was, like, trying not to cough. And and both times, I think, even last call, I got sick again. And it was this very weird thing where I was like, why does it seem like every time we're supposed to record?
It's because you need sleep.
Well, that's the hard part, is trying to find time to sleep. I mean, it's definitely been one of those things where you realize how big this project is, as far as like us having to write the scripts, edit, cast people, record them, and then
scheduling, music,
then, yeah,
editing, yeah,
and then obviously there's like artwork and like animation, because you obviously know about the animation part. How long does that take anyway?
Yeah, you want to tell us about this animation?
Oh, jeez. Okay, so Crawler was probably the more difficult one. And we didn't do the episode artwork for it. Because originally we wanted just something that would represent the show for every episode and not do an animation per episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we took the main logo and we animated that. Me and Atlas kind of had to collaborate, because I can't draw, but he certainly can. And it was probably a 3-day process going back and forth with different artwork and doing different things. And I've been doing some amateur animation on and off for the past 7 years, probably. I think that was the coolest animation I've ever done.
I was going to say it was worth it.
Yeah,
I definitely dug that.
Yeah, it was definitely. It definitely wasn't what I was expecting. I thought it was going to be very, you know, minimal. But, yeah, it was definitely something where I was like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, wow, that's ridiculously amazing. And all our ideas worked out, like, because I know we all had some sort of input on like, what we wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lightning, the rain, so the blinking.
Yeah, so it just worked out where it was like, oh, wow, this actually turned into, like, a whole thing. Because, you know, normally when there's something, like, not all of your ideas work sometimes.
Yeah.
Also been interesting, too, because we work on such different tool sets and devices. So I do all of my animation in Vegas Pro, which is probably not the best tool for that. So it's a lot of taking graphical layers and applying different filters, doing different timings on things to try to make things smooth. The eye blinking and the eye movement was probably the most time consuming because I had to basically put things on loop and modify layers until things made sense. There's that part where she hides under the blanket, and that was way more difficult than I thought it was going to be.
It like, always is, right?
You know, because I wanted her to, like, you know, sink under the covers as well as bringing them up, so it looked a little bit more natural, I guess. And then for the last call, it was actually a lot more simple to put together. I kind of was inspired to bring the titles into life by using like smoke, because Liam was smoking, so like the bar was, you know, obviously one where you're allowed to smoke in, and I thought it would be interesting just to have the billowing smoke manifest as letters or whatever, as kind of a, you know, a nod to doing it, you know, because it's in a bar. Those are the titles, Nightmare Scenario and Last Call. And then the Anundra's blinking with the glowing eye. So it was a lot easier to put together. I think that one only took me like an afternoon to put together, which was nice because we're getting it kind of close to publishing time.
Take that over 3 days.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was the amazing part is we never actually discussed or had an idea of doing an animation. Remember, it was just supposed to be a still shot of like a logo or something, and then it was just something you decided to do. So like it definitely was something where I was like, oh wow, we did it, and we did it on short notice, which is, I mean, really, it's amazing, like, honestly.
Yeah, thank you. my motivation for it was, like, I listened to a lot of Reddit stories at night, and I put them on the TV, so I thought, you know, a loop on the screen would be nice. I unfortunately don't think it's very burn-in friendly. All right, I figured that would be nice. I know a lot of people kind of do the same thing, or at least I think they do.
I'm not sure.
They always have stock footage on Reddit stories, so I figured kind of the same deal.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it's I do know like certain channels have some sort of just static image or something that just kind of loops. So it definitely makes the YouTube version very easy to listen to, easy to, you know, I guess immerse yourself in.
Yeah, gives a little bit more flavor too, having something actually move instead of just a static image.
Yeah, hooray!
I think you did a really good job. I definitely like that smoke effect on the Last Call.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, even the intro for the proof of concept, the rain.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I love that one.
That was that was definitely.
Yeah, and fun story about that one too, because we have a couple different intros that Orson produced for the music. We're doing the special occasion one, like a premiere episode, and then there's a shortened cut for every other episode. And I had lined up everything perfectly with the music we already had, which kind of got rid of the main beat where it kind of like builds up. So Orson actually completely composed new music just for that little, like 5 seconds.
Well, it was like, I was perfectly fine with the idea, but the problem was, is it, like, where it was cut, and I was like, oh, you blue-balled the beat. So it was definitely one of those things where I was like, okay, well, I can come up with something, I'm sure. You know, I mean, it's a good, like, 10-second segment, so.
Yeah, I think it looks cool.
It definitely matches. It definitely works. It almost makes you think, like, you're about to watch a film, essentially. You know, which is great.
Yeah. So this isn't the first kind of production like this that we've been involved in. Do you guys want to talk about that that process and how we kind of got together originally to work on stuff, and then how we kind of created the inception for Nightmare Scenario?
Yeah, so basically I was walking through Best Buy and then Marcos just makes a comment about my shirt. I'm wearing some like a Team 4 Star Dragon Ball shirt or something like that, and I don't even know how it actually turns into a conversation, but he ends up handing me like a business card. You got to know him about his business cards. He loves business cards. Of a YouTube channel. A YouTube channel he has or whatever. And I just remember sitting there and being like, oh, cool. Cause like, I've been thinking about doing some sort of podcasting or, like I had ideas. I hadn't really like fleshed them out yet. And then he was like, well, I have this project that I want to do where it was essentially a motion comic for, I think we could say Power Rangers without getting sued, right?
I mean, that's what it was.
But, you know, I mean, it was a motion comic. And originally, I was just going to do the audio, which is generally what I do. But I remember him saying, well, you know, I'm going to do all the voices. And I was like, all the voices.
All of them?
All of them. All the girls.
I
you should hear his Rita. Like,
it's, oh, no. Oh, yeah.
I got to find that somewhere. But, yeah, he did a Rita Repulsa line. And I just sat there and I was like, you know what? I think I know somebody that might be able to do this. And
She did a great job.
Wait. Can we put Marcos on the spot?
Yes.
And have him do a Rita line?
I can do Tommy by heart.
Yes, we all know you can
do a line of Tommy, but as Rita.
I don't remember how I did Rita at all.
If I find it, I'm just gonna add it to the
because like it got nixed very quickly.
It did. It because yeah.
My Green Ranger.
I think it was something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it didn't sound like a woman. It sounded a goblin.
I mean, have you seen that show?
I know, but still. But yeah, so one voice actor, and then all of a sudden it turned into like two, and then we just kind of ran with it because we just started calling people. Like I called a lot of people and just said, hey, you want to be a part of this project?
Went to a few bars in Midtown, pick up some of the local artists.
Yeah, that's I don't know if I would advise with that. Like, that was very...
Yeah, there was a little bit of drama.
It was just kind of creeper vibes. Like, hey, you got a great voice.
You want to be on my podcast?
Ironically, I still kind of do that, trying to recruit some.
Well, we did
people.
Have the trailer, which kind of helped our credibility a little bit when we were asking strangers if they would be interested
it definitely helped. But, yeah, so we ran with that. And actually, you know, it turned out all right. Like, recording all the people in the animation and the music. But, you know, then there was kind of I don't know if you want to call it like a coming to God moment where it was like, well, I believe COPPA just happened and then we just...
COPPA.
I think coming to lawsuit. I think that makes more sense.
No, that's what that's what I was leading to. I was like, I just don't ever... I don't even know what Haim Saban looks like. but I don't want to.
What looks like?
I don't know what Saban looks like, but I don't know what, like, I just don't want to meet him.
Yeah.
In a courtroom, especially. So we decided to.
Yeah, because it took a year.
Yeah, and we were so close.
Yeah, and we had a schedule going. We could have released the next comic like every 2 months, I think.
Yeah, it was a lot of like it was a very involved project. But then we discussed it and we're like, well, we can just do our own thing. So then there were several projects, but the first one was Rip Readings.
Rip Readings.
And I remember I was actually not supposed to have a lot of involvement in that.
Well, that took an episode to overcome.
Yeah, but it turned out really well, I think. The audio portion, especially like the dramatic parts.
Yeah, so little 5-minute dramas.
With that, it was like, well, why don't we just do this? Like I've always wanted to do a Tales from the Crypt or Twilight Zone style anthology series. And, you know, we have the voice actors, we have, you know, we have artists, we have like people that make music, we have the equipment, which is like amazing, because that's definitely a tough hurdle. Most people have, like, you know,
a Yeti,
and they do it, and it sounds amazing, you know. But like, yeah, it's definitely. You okay over there?
He's just got a problem with that stand.
Yeah. But like, yeah, it's it was definitely something where we wanted to do something original, something that was ours. So, and that's where the entire concept was okay, let's make a horror anthology series where the stories are ours, the actors are everybody that we know
are ours.
Yeah, we, you know,
strap him to the booth and
everybody
sign in blood,
say your lines,
sign the NDA. You know, yeah, the music, the sound effects, like everything, you know, from the ground up. And we were really trying to figure that out. And then, COVID happened.
Yay.
Yeah. So,
and we worked so hard, though, trying to get that to work.
It was, it's just tough to.
Yeah, just getting on WebEx once a week. Like, how are things going? It's like, well, things suck right now. Haven't gotten anything done. How about you?
What do you know? They suck over here too. What a coincidence.
It was definitely the way it
I missed the sun.
Yeah, the way it impacted a lot of people, like we definitely took a hit on it, and it made it very difficult to, because I mean, we're gonna do a remote record, like I just don't like that. Like I for certain things I don't really want to concede to in like a remote recording for like that type of podcast.
You can only imagine how the editing would be more of a nightmare in that.
Oh no, I would just give
especially
up.
With variable. Like,
I would just give up. I'd just call it an improv.
Yeah.
But luckily, things started getting better and we definitely started to get the ball rolling, and now we're here. 2 episodes in, 3rd one about to be out. We don't see any type of, you know what? I'm not going to say it because I have to knock on wood and I don't want to.
Yeah. There's no wood in this booth. Yeah.
So let's, you know, let's just keep moving forward. And yeah.
Cool. Did anyone have any closing statements before we wrap it up?
I definitely want to talk about the fact that we are pushing back. Our next episode will be the end of January, mainly because of holidays and people did get sick. A lot of voice actors got sick, you know.
Unforeseen.
But we are definitely going to be releasing this podcast as well, you know, after the nightmare, behind the nightmare. We haven't really decided yet. But more of this behind the scenes look on every episode. So the next one should be about our very first episode, Crawler.
Yeah.
So
Nightmare Ever After.
Nightmare Ever After.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. I think I like that.
I guess I'll re-record the intro.
Nah, man, it's off the cuff. We're fine. Yeah. That's why I like doing this stuff. I don't have to worry about it. But yeah, so we will definitely be back in the new year with new episodes. And, you know, I definitely love the support that we're getting. We definitely weren't expecting the response that we did. Like, that we did, we actually got from the first episode to the second episode, and just consistently having people listen. It's definitely, like, an amazing thing. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, for being so new, and then in an age where there's just so much content coming at you all the time.
You know. I mean,
definitely appreciative.
You know, we're definitely appreciative of the podcast community. They've actually been helping us, you know.
Oh, yeah, on Twitter. They've been,
like,
great.
They've been promoting us and stuff like that, which is, you know, I never asked for them. I definitely thank them, but I never asked for it. So it's actually a really good community to be a part of, you know, especially because, like, if you really look at us, like, we're just, you know, we're just three people. We don't have, like, the best. We don't have a budget. Like, our budget is very small.
Whatever's in our wallets.
Yeah, so, you know, trying to make this happen where it would technically be a big budget type of podcast, or, you know, higher production value. Like, we're definitely doing the best that we can with what we have. You know, the voice actors are amazing. They you know, they come in off their time where they don't have to. They're not making any money off of this. They're not getting paid. They just do it because they love the project, or they're passionate about it, or they're passionate about voice acting. So it's definitely one of those things where, like, there's a lot of people that made this happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of the birthplace of proof of concept media. Generally speaking, it's a blood, sweat, and tears. It's called proof of concept because we try a lot of things and a lot of things fail. And then sometimes we're just like, oh, hey, that works. I don't know what we can use this for, but...
Yeah, I've definitely had a lot of ideas, and I know it's been a headache for some people where you just like, oh, yeah, I mean, that's great. Like, yeah, but I don't know how to do it, so let's figure that out.
Yeah, I remember with Power Rangers, that was like a constant thing of like,
oh, no, I
oh,
lied.
Yeah, I can do that.
Oh, yeah, I lied my
I'm gonna
ass off.
Google the shit out of that.
I lied my ass off. Like, he didn't watch me, like, watching YouTube. Or Googling anything. I was like, oh, yeah, no. Okay, I've done that before. Yeah, let's do it. Just really, I really, you know, it's really like a fake it till you make it situation. But, I mean, I did learn a lot from that. So, I mean, I'm trying to apply everything to this project.
And do you have anything, Alice?
I think I'm good.
All right.
Yeah. Stay classy.
San Diego?
Whoever's listening.
Oh, well, you're doing like an
probably Brazil. Half our audience is in Brazil.
Yes. Well, then, thank
there you. Go.
Them.
Yeah. You stay classy.
Yeah, thank
Brazil.
All of you. Yeah. Stay classy, Brazil.
That's amazing.
All right. Well, yeah, thank you so much for listening to our show. I hope you enjoyed enough to share with everyone. Happy holidays, and can't wait for you guys to enjoy more of what we have to put out. We're really excited about it.
Yeah. Like I said, next episode, expect end of January. And we'll see you from there.
Yeah. Till the next nightmare.